We're good to go.
Meeting 7 o'clock. Calling this on May 7th, 2025. Community Preservation Committee meeting to order. The first order of business is approval of minutes of August 20th, 2024. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Second. Thank you. Are there any questions, comments, additions, deletions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Next is the minutes of, December 18th, 2024. And I'd like to point out a couple of things before we move forward. They have listed members present, Brett Powers. That's incorrect. They had Jay Mello and being here representing the planning board, which he is, but he was not town staff. He was a member of the committee for that meeting.
So duly noted.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the minute?
Motion to approve the minutes of December 18th, 2024 as member.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any other questions or comments on all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Next on the agenda is the 2025 fiscal 26 budget annual public hearing. Jamie?
Yeah, through Mr. Chairman to the committee, it's just our kind of public notice. We put the legal ad in there. All the projects that have come in are on the slate further on in the resolution. So I would just use this opportunity if anybody has any comments that are not on tonight's agenda or any project ideas, now would be a time to bring it forward.
Is anyone on the committee? Anyone in the audience?
Good evening, I'm Michael Ryan, 120 Eric Drive. Several years ago, I came before you and proposed pickleball courts. I just come before you again to report that it's more popular than ever. The courts are being used even more than ever. And we would hope that you would be able to put it on the list of priorities. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie?
Yeah, Michael did come to one of our previous meetings. We have courts that are scheduled to go in King Street during the Memorial Park. But as I think I've mentioned before, that park renovation is a multi-year effort. The facilities department is now just putting out the bid soon for the lighting issue for, how they rent lights down there for some of the fall soccer. So we're finally getting those installed. That was a phase one project that this committee funded last year. And so we would anticipate the next round, maybe even if all those bids come in and the project is starting to move forward, we would possibly look at October when we set up our fall meeting with CPC of possibly looking at funding phase two, which may include the pickleball courts. So I think as we said at that meeting back then, it's tough to find space for them. It's tough to find the appropriate space for them because of the noise. And we already know that there are some down there, but it is within the master plan of the King Street Memorial Park to add some courts. So hopefully that'll happen in the next couple of years.
So it's an addition to what's already.
That's correct. Yeah. And I just for the record to Michael's comment, it still won't be enough. It just won't. I think that's why you see places like the Adirondack Club and other private institutions. I know where I go to the YMCA, there's like 4-hour pickleball blocks, completely packed. Oh yeah. I mean, again, I'll just go back to my joke a few years ago. If you filled up Davis there right now, I could fill every classroom in that building easily with pickleball all day. It is so popular. Michael's correct. It's very hard to keep up with the demand for pickleball. And that's why you see Adirondack Club has converted its old tennis courts to pickleball courts. You see that around, you see the Natick Mall. If you want to get in and try to pickleball, have a pickleball game with Rob Gronkowski, I think they're doing like a whole charity thing right now. And the Natick Mall has a whole another pickleball court inside the mall to utilize old space. And the mall was a great idea because it's soundproof, so it's not bothering neighbors or stuff like that. But I think ultimately, public pickleball courts, as you can see, are very hard to find the space. Some people are for it, some people are against it, some people don't like the noise. Michael's right, the popularity, it's going to be a professional sport, if not an Olympic sport, probably in 2028, if not already. But for us to build pickleball courts is much more expensive and complicated than if like an Adirondack club just changes the marketplace. Unfortunately, you have to be a member, I think, at the Adirondack club to probably play. But there are pickleball courts spreading up all over the place in a private sector standpoint, which is much more effective at generating a lot more courts than we can. But we do have some slated to go into King Street. Yeah.
Next is the proposed budget.
Yeah, so through this chairman, resolution 25-25, this is just the required state appropriations for the Historic Preservation Reserve, Community Housing Reserve, Open Space Reserve, 10% apiece. This is the estimated budget based on FY26 from our finance office, and they're estimating a 15.9% match, which has been given to us by the Community Preservation Coalition. So you're looking at an annual budget of $1.9 million roughly between the match and the or the local contribution. And you're looking at about $1.2 in discretionary money, and then the $191,000 is for each of the three categories, and then setting aside the 5% admin cost of $95,521. If you look in the memo, just for curiosity, even after all this budget is done, and then the proposed slate of projects, the committee is looking at about $2.6 million in discretionary revenue in that in CPA. And I do think that as later in the memo, when we set up a meeting for October, we can certainly set up more beforehand. People want to discuss this further, but October already is the 5-year anniversary of the town passing the Community Preservation Act, which it just seems a little surreal. I don't know why, but it does.
You look younger than ever.
I appreciate that, Mike. This is the first time anyone's ever told me that. And we're trying to work with our staff to maybe put together like a little ceremonial booklet of pictures of the, you know, the projects that we have gotten done, and just do a little bit of a set. But I also think with that amount of money still left in that account, you know, the committee is going to have, I think, a discussion or some strategy discussions about, do we want to spend the 10% required in each category every year? Do we want to save up resources for other bigger projects? You know, and, you know, just have a discussion a little bit more about how to move forward, or we can just stay the course and save some money, but still do some of the smaller projects on the side. Some of the issues, by the way, with the pickleball courts and just some of the other stuff is when the town sponsors those projects, then our staff have to do them. And not that we're afraid of doing a lot of work, but we already have a backlog of huge of projects for the facilities department, for example, or recreation. So there's only so much bandwidth we as a staff can do, even if the money is there to do something. So I will say when we get to the fall, last thing I'll say, Mr. Chairman, is not only will the King Street Phase 2 possibly be in the mix, but the implementation money of the Schmidt Farm and Maple Hill parcels will be done then as well. And then we'll probably be seeking some finances from the CPC to implement some of the work that needs to happen at Schmidt and at Maple Hill. So there will be some projects on the slate come the fall, and we'll see what else comes up. But for right now, 25-25 just sets out the basic parameters of the budget for the year. So happy to answer any questions.
Jamie, do you want us to vote on that next?
Yeah, you have to vote on 20. That's your official recommendation to the council to approve at the budget meetings in a few weeks. Yep.
Move to motion.
Motion to approve FY26 Community Preservation budget as assessed.
Second. Does anyone have any questions? Jamie, in some of the information we got, and maybe I misread it, but it looked like it said for housing that we had only met the criteria for the first 4 years. Yep. Is that correct?
That's correct. So there's no proposal for FY26 yet.
So what that means is if even if we spend more than the 10% in a given year, we can't roll that forward.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you have to save that. That's what
we can save it going forward, but
right. That's what Evan's job partially is to do is track. The first several years were easy because you knew you blew through those amounts for each one because there was such a backlog of projects. But I think moving forward, that's where the strategy comes in. We don't have to spend the 10% housing in FY26. You could bank that money for 5 years and then have roughly $1 million to spend in 5 years from now if a bigger project comes up, just for an example. But you're correct. We wouldn't have one for 26. So that money stays in that budgeted reserve for community housing until we spend it, until you authorize it, and until it's spent, it stays in that account.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Do we need a roll call vote for that?
You don't, because everybody's here. 2, 4.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice job.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, none, it passes. Next is the FY26 project slate, resolution 25-26. The projects are brought to you by the town.
I believe all of them are. Yep. Except for one, which is a separate resolution, which we'll get to them.
Yeah,
we'll get to the Methodist Church and down the line.
Do you want to go through each one, James?
Sure. So some of the staff are here to talk about any of these if you have any questions. So as people may remember, a gentleman from, I believe it was Bellingham, donated to us. He's a fire truck collector. And when Chief McLaughlin got here and the staff were, and they were looking at some historic projects, was kind enough to donate the first ladder truck the town ever had in 1949. And so now there's some basic repairs that are needed. And we may not end up needing that money because we may end up going to put the truck into a museum, into an international fire truck museum, because when the new engine truck, when the new ladder shows up in a couple months, there's not going to be any space at either of the stations to house it. So we still got to figure those things out. And we're still working with a couple of companies, but we thought reserving that money, at least for now, was a wise idea because we got to take care of our own if one of the museum deals doesn't work out. The main hall at the library, some may remember we had a gutter issue after the renovation. And if you walked into the hall up in the top right corner in the furthest part of the building, there is some paint and some wall reconstruction that needs to happen. There's a couple photos put in the packet. But we've gone out and got some quotes that I included in the packet as well. I don't think we'll need the entire 80,000, but the quote was up to about that amount. So we want to be prepared that when the consultant gets into the walls, if there is some other residual costs, at least we're protected. That project probably won't start till a little further into the summer or maybe early fall, but that's an important one to repair that corner of the library. The open space and recreation for the ADA access, those plans, we finished, the Conservation Commission finished the open space plan last year. It has gone through state review, and somewhere in between when the Conservation Commission fulfilled all the requirements, and by the time the individual at the state got to read our document, which may have been 6 or 7, 8 months later, some regulations had changed. And so they came back to us with one comment that we needed to do a little bit more work on ADA accessibility on some of our parks. So the money here is proposed to go to do that study to include into our required open space plan to get approved by the state.
That's the 14.
Yep, that's the 14,000. The 181,000 for the phase one elementary complexes playground expansion is mainly due to the redistricting, but to qualify for CPA funds, those playgrounds have to be accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to the entire public during non-school hours, which the schools have confirmed that that is the case. So that means these are eligible for CPA funds. And then the soccer field wall padding replacement, our DPW brought that to our attention. There's some definite public safety issue or student safety issues with that. So we can replace those. And then the other two projects are just the annual payments for the debt and interest for Schmidt Farm and Maple Hill. So that's the main project slate for right now. And all the folks are here to answer any questions that folks may have on any of those projects.
We have a motion on the resolution. Motion to approve the FY26 project slate. Resolution 25-26.
Second. First, is everyone okay voting on is this as a slate, or do people want to break it down?
Good. Jay? I just actually have one comment. I'm looking at a document here. The budget slate is this 14-6 for the open space plan. Then we have 9-4. So, where's the other 5,000 on that
one? Yeah, 2. It's the 9-4 plus the 5.
So one of them.
Okay. It's the 2.
Yes. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Look down.
Oh, yeah. Together.
I'll send that comment.
Yeah. Okay. Strike that. Okay, there's been a motion made and seconded. All those in favor of approval of resolution 25-26 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, not. Passed. Next is FY project resolution 25-27.
Yeah. Okay. Let me give a little intro. This is the folks from the Methodist Church are here. Let me, Jake, if you want to stick out there or sit up wherever you want to stand, it doesn't matter. So the matter before you tonight is a request for just over $105,000 for some historic preservation work. At the Methodist Church uptown, and I'll let Jacob and Patricia speak more to the project and the history of the church, et cetera. What I just want to paint for all of you tonight first, I'm sorry, this is going to be a little more complicated than the rest of the previous parts of the evening. So Community Preservation Act funds have been used in the past for renovation projects or other historical preservation means with places of worship. In fact, there is on the CPC website, the project log, you can go in and look. But I also wanna make sure everybody's aware these projects are not exactly every day, every week, every year in a lot of communities. They are somewhat rare. There's a project in Easton, there's a project in Yarmouthport. There are some other projects that do smaller projects like some signage. Maybe a church might have been the place of a historic meeting, maybe in a Sudbury, 350 years ago, so-and-so met at this church site for a meeting of whatever. And so therefore they might make a sign that wants to honor those individuals of historic nature that came to their community. And there are facade renovations that have happened at some of the other projects, like in Easton and Yarmouthport, Westford, and a few others. I also want to make sure the board is well aware of some of the legality issues around it. There has been a Supreme Judicial Court case in 2018 against the town of Acton for usage of money. And we did have a chance to sit down with the church earlier today to kind of go through some of their understanding of the court case, make sure our town attorney was there and we understood the court case. I just want to make sure everybody's on the record, we're on the record and everybody's very clear. Everybody may not know what the anti-aid amendment is. And I'm going to read to you a very easy definition for the record. Chris knows it. I'm sure a few other people know it really well. Jay certainly knows it. No grant, appropriation, or use of public money or property or loan of credit shall be made or authorized by the Commonwealth or any political subdivision thereof for the purpose of founding, maintaining, or aiding any infirmary, hospital, institution, primary or secondary school, or charitable or religious undertaking, which is not publicly owned and under the executive exclusive control, order, and subdivision of public officers or public agents authorized in the Mainly what we hear of anti-aid amendment revolves around public education in most common. But the anti-aid amendment actually goes back a couple of hundred years and is a part of the state constitution. So any funds that are appropriated through a public means, particularly CPA, because it's well-worn case law relative to operating budgets or capital budgets or free cash or other means through a municipality or the state. Just so you all are aware, any group of citizens, and this is what happened in Acton, could petition the courts to deny funding via the anti-aid amendment, right? So this becomes very, very challenging and very difficult. So what happens in a circumstance where the Constitution essentially prohibits this, but you have other projects that have been accomplished, okay? And how does that all come together? Well, you could read the 68-page decision against the town of Acton, which is actually... it's actually very clear. The verbiage that is used is very clear. It's very understandable. And when you read it, you can easily understand what they're trying to get at. The interpretation and execution and implementation of this is as clear as mud. And so one of the challenges this committee has, and the church, by the way, is very well knowledgeable of all of this. And Jacob certainly knew of the court case. That we're speaking of, it's pretty, you know, well known, is you have to kind of apply a three-pronged test to the project, right? And so ultimately with the anti-aid amendment, which is really the issue in the background, you have to kind of define the purpose, which, you know, their proposal, they'll go through it in a minute. You have to apply at least some standard to say, I don't want to totally use the word iconic because I don't want to demean any institution that may believe they're iconic, but they may not be. But when you think of iconic things, you think of nationally the Statue of Liberty, the Grand Canyon, the Washington Mall, and then each within our own states, we have iconic places as well, right? The State House, you have the Old South Church, you have Boston, you have Faneuil Hall, you have all these other structures. Fenway Park might even be referenced as iconic, right? And so... I think to some degree, and Jake will make a presentation on the legacy of the Methodist Church. I think to some degree, depending on your opinion, and people are going to have different opinions, is iconic in the eyes of the beholder, which it generally is. And therefore, would a group of residents in town challenge that to think that this was not iconic for whatever way you want? You have to apply, you know, in this case, also the risks according to the project. Whereas in some cases, you know, if you saw an old church, say, in Sudbury that was built in 1689, you may say, well, that's been on 10 movie sets. That's been something in the center of our town. The facade is worth painting white. I also should remind everybody, you cannot use any CPA funds. And we did go through this with them earlier. When they came last year to promote this project, they were looking at maintenance and operational costs. You cannot use any funds for maintenance and operational costs, which they have adjusted their proposal to do. There would also be the risks of, in the case of the Acton case, as Jake pointed out earlier at our meeting, I think they were under financial hardship. And so in some ways, I think some of the residents in Acton may have challenged this because they may have seen this as moving shells around a little bit, and that they were going to cover one cost over here to maintain the building, but then operate what they were going to do in a capital campaign to their operation costs, which was going to possibly keep them solvent financially, which was may or may not really be the case. The third one is whether or not this is considered substantial aid. So in this case, like I just said with Acton, was the aid really going to the historical preservation of a second to none, unique, iconic architectural feature? So if you look at some of the cases in some of the other communities, some of those architects, I may not have known their name off the top of my head, and I do know actually some famous architects, but if you were a Frederick Law Olmsted property or you were something as such, maybe that would qualify. So there has to be something of substance, of iconicism to the town, some level of one-of-a-kind uniqueness that you can't find anywhere else, something that I believe has to be visible from the street. In other words, if you're inside a building, Well, the parishioners may benefit from that, but the public doesn't have any benefit to that because the public doesn't may not be invited into the facility all times. It may not be open all the time. But the safest bet is certainly, and I think we agree, from the streetscape, the visual that you have walking down the street or driving down the street is, I think, where a lot of communities tend to be able to appropriate funds, depending, again, on the parcel, depending on the community. I'm sure there are a lot of questions. That's like my 10 or 15 minute overview. We will continue to work through this. They're here to give a presentation tonight, get questions and feedback from the committee. Just to make sure we're clear with everybody, you do not need to, you don't have to do this if you don't feel like it meets that smell test. You do have to understand that citizens could potentially challenge a decision of the CPC or the council. The CPC could recommend this project and the town council may decide they want to reject it for whatever reasons or vice versa as well. If you reject it, then it would never get to the town council. You also could have a greater debate in the community on this. You don't have to do this tonight, although I'm sure they have some capital plans they want to work on. The final thing, or maybe I'll find a couple things, is a preservation restriction is required under this circumstance as well. As we did talk to Jake earlier and Patricia, that's months to do. I just did one on something that was easy. This ultimately may end up going through a historic preservation review from the Mass Historic Commission. They will likely have extensive feedback. I don't believe, and I'm not aware of a case, but it could be out there, but we were certainly researching it and haven't found anything up where the Mass Historic Commission then rejected a preservation restriction that was authorized by the local level, but for some reason didn't be deemed to this three-prong approach, by themselves. Whether or not they do that or not, I don't know. I don't think they do. Generally, what they do is try to create a preservation restriction up to Mass Historic standards and state standards and mix that with what the local priority was. They did give extensive feedback on the Old South Meeting House down on Washington Street, but most of it was about facade and window improvements that we had already committed to through the CPA funding, which, by the way, I think on June 18th, 5 o'clock, we're having a huge ribbon cutting for everybody. Hope you get the invite. If it hasn't come yet, you'll be getting one. So this is a more complicated and nuanced project proposal than this committee has had before. But I do know a lot of communities that have CPA for many years do eventually go through these conversations. So with that as a framework, entertain any questions, and maybe Jake and Patricia can give an overview of what they're looking to do.
So I'm going to take a quick 5 minute recess.
Can I have
the
Hi, everyone. Town of Franklin and members of the Community and Preservation Committee. My name is Patricia Pruitt, and I'm a local resident residing at 17 Sunset Road since 2010. I'm here again on behalf of Franklin United Methodist Church with the updated application for Community Preservation Act funds in the amount of $105,245 for the preservation and restoration of our 150-year-old historic building located at 82 West Central Street in downtown Franklin, next to the Franklin Historical Museum. Since my last presentation before this committee on May 14th of 2024, a significant amount of research and due diligence has been done to substantiate the use of CPA funding under the historic preservation category of this request. It's actually been quite a lot of fun to take a deep dive into the history of the building, to learn about its different architectural features, to find out the role that the building has played in the rich cultural heritage of the town of Franklin. With our 250th year anniversary coming up in 2028, I must say Franklin has a lot to be proud of. I'd like to give a special thank you to Rowan Lowell, the town archivist, for her help in locating original source documents to Vicki Earle, the head of the reference library at the Franklin Public Library, and also to Alan Earls, who provided some materials from a private collection as we sought to learn more about the history and the architecture of the building, as well as its multifaceted use for events that occurred from a historic perspective within the building at 82 West Central Street. Did you know that Mario Capelli, a premier Italian-American tenor, performed at a service in 1927? Original church ledgers and articles that were culled from the Franklin Sentinel validated the use of the building for the benefit of the community for more than religious purposes for many years. And that continues. Okay, why are we here? Based on our research and from the Community Preservation Coalition rubric, if you guys would like to see that, we can successfully answer, is the project appropriating CPA funding for one of the following historic resources? Building, yes. Structure, yes. Is the resource on the State Register of Historic Places? Yes. The facility has been identified as a historic asset of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in the MACRIS inventory number FRM 336. It has also been identified as a historic property by the Town of Franklin Historical Commission, and the facility sits adjacent to and is a contemporary of the Dean Junior College National College Historic District. Will the funds be spent on one of the following actions? Preservation of a historic resource? Yes. Restoration of a historic resource? Yes. Answer, yes, CPA funds may be appropriated for this project. Of note, the building has been in continuous service since its inception in 1873 and is a public facility used for the benefit of the entire community by many public, non-related church groups and organizations, drawing people in to visit downtown Franklin. To tell you more about the specifics of the preservation project or the exterior of this historic building, I'd like to introduce Dr. Reverend Pastor Jacob Younger.
So Jacob Younger, I'm the pastor of the Franklin United Methodist Church. I'm also a local resident. I don't know if I have to give my street number for this meeting, but Union Street, Franklin. Before I make my formal read from my formal notes, I do want to just acknowledge that we fully understand that this project is incredibly unique as the first major proposal on a non-town owned property. So we understand that in some ways we're trying to set the bar for something that has not yet happened. And so we try to do our best to address any issues that we can see coming down the pike and are happy to answer any questions that you might have. I do want to say that the Franklin UMC is not the largest religious organization in the town of Franklin. Its facility does not sit in the most recognizable location on the town common in Franklin. Every person who I tell or ask about the church, they think that we're the Federated Church that's upon the common, and that is not the case. All of that being said, we are the oldest congregation to still be in its original facility in the town of Franklin. So old, in fact, that many residents assume the church is part of the historical museum. For 172 years, Methodists have met here in the town of Franklin, first in the town hall, interestingly enough, beginning in 1853, when the town hall was brand new. It then began meeting in members' homes and then would eventually build its facility right next to that town hall, breaking ground in 1872, and at 82 West Central Street. And to be clear, this project aims to preserve and restore the exterior facade of that 150-year-old structure. I'm not going to detail all of the things in our proposal. They were put out in your packet, and I have copies. If you want it, you can just kind of give Trisha the nod, and she'll give you a packet to thumb through. But key aspects of this project include the restoration of historic trim, staining the body, and painting the trim to closely match the original historic colors, as determined from photographic and other historic records. And additionally, the project encompasses the restoration of a cupola on the roof and cresting, features that were removed many, many years ago. It's worth noting that we do want to adjust our proposal slightly on the fly tonight. We do want to remove the replacement of the gilded cross from the scope of this project, which will lower the total of the project by $5,000. We've been working on this for a very long time.
Yep.
And we do not, all things considered, and in particular with the case that was just brought up by Jamie, we do not think it appropriate to use public funds to restore religious iconography, period. So that would lower the proposal down to $100,245. The goal of this project is to preserve the historic ambiance of downtown Franklin, and in particular, an important historic block, which features the historic town hall constructed just a few years before the church building in question. Our goal is to preserve and restore Victorian Gothic details of the facility that without rewarding of this funding may otherwise be lost as the church prioritizes other things beyond the decorations on the exterior of the building. That being said, those decorations and details which are threatened have been recognized by the Massachusetts Historical Commission as historically significant. The church is listed as a significant cultural resource, as Trisha mentioned, and included in the MacWistat database. The project is part of a very large phased capital campaign that we're currently undergoing at the church. The church is currently working through phase two and making plans for phase three. This campaign seeks to make our historic facility more accessible and usable by the community. To date, the church has raised over $260,000 in pledges for phase two of its campaign. And to date, just over a year into the campaign, our receipts total just over half of what's been pledged, which means we're ahead of schedule. We've also secured over $330,000 in funding for phase three projects, which we hope will be voted on and move forward actually in the next couple of weeks. I want to be very clear that community preservation funds will not be used, should we get this award, for any projects inside the building. No aid is being given to fund the religious operation and obligations of the church. Funds will, if approved, only be used to preserve and restore the exterior of the building, preserving the historic feel of downtown Franklin for the benefit of the entire community. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have about this project. Trisha and I are joined this evening by Bud Hill, owner of Painter's Pride, the contractor we've chosen to perform the preservation and restoration work should we receive this funding. So we're happy to answer. I think we've got the trio here that can answer just about any question you have. So thank you so much for considering.
Any other questions? Yeah, my only question and concern would be the legality of public funds for a religious institution. Certainly, would like to support. That was my main concern. I think it could possibly lead to some other people may be coming forward as well. So that would be my main concern.
Just a protocol question. The chair, Jamie, are we allowed to respond to these concerns and questions?
Yes, this is,
okay. Yes. All right, just want to make sure. Not crossing the line. I think so. When I think about that, as we as a resident and also as pastor of the church, I think there are kind of two things to consider. One, to think about the historicity. Is the historical argument a valid one? That's a decision you all have to make. When it comes to a religious organization or not, I would encourage you to think about it not just in terms of the church, but any organization. So what happens if the YMCA comes forward and says, we'd like CPA funds? I would ask or request the committee to give the same scrutiny to those organizations because of their nonprofit of charitable status, just as you're getting into the church. I know in our minds we're thinking of them differently, but in terms of the anti-aid amendment, they're actually the same. They're considered, that's a charitable organization just like the church. So but that'd be my response to that. Those are questions, though, that I can't answer to you. That's just my response. Those are details you all have to figure out for yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, we could approve it and all, but then the town council could reject it. Is that it, Jamie?
Yeah, so the CPC committee could approve the $100,245. It would be subject to, obviously, a preservation restriction with the state, which would be required anyway. And as long as it fulfills the three prongs that I kind of quickly outlined earlier, I would just say, and then the town council could reject the request for various reasons as well. That's why the implementation of those three areas is so complicated, because it's really, it's very hard because it's a community-wide decision ultimately. And I would just say a couple more quick thoughts to that. So you have the oldest standing congregation and church and facility in town. Not everybody can say that. So when you talk about precedent, it could or couldn't be true, because the YMCA or, you know, another place of worship may have just built their building 30 years ago. And people in town may say, well, that's not very historic, right? But I think the facts do in this case show that if the United Methodist Church is the oldest place of worship in Franklin, and it is the oldest congregation that met in the original site and still does today, that can't be. No other place of worship can say that. There's only one who gets that designation, right? However, the community also may be like, well, that's not how we feel about our other building that we're in, whether it's the Federation, it doesn't matter, St. Mary's or the Federation Church or whatever. They could say, oh no, we have standard because of A, B, and C. Where that meets in the law, Wayne, is very, very hard to determine, because CPA and the courts have essentially kicked that down to the local level to determine on your own, right? And so this is the same thing with the Barron versus Southborough case about whether you can say whatever you want at a meeting and call a public official whatever you want. There used to be decorum, but then that case said you can do it. But then it's really up to the individuals involved whether you were insulted or not. So you have, as a community, I think, a decision to make based on your own lifelong residency here. Maybe other people are new to town. You know, you may say, wow, that really passes our smell test. And I think legally on that part, you're probably in pretty good shape. You're probably on sound ground, because that's what a lot of the other examples in Easton and Yarmouthport essentially kind of said the same thing. You can't find this anywhere else because of.
Well, I do think it's a legitimate request.
Yeah.
I just think you have to just move and discuss it, yeah, and then see what happens.
So hang on. You all set, Wayne?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm sorry. I wanted to make 2 points. I'm putting aside legality for a second.
I think it's pretty clear what the ADAP is trying to write, right, this separation of church and state. I'll try to understand this right. But hypothetical experiment. If the town decided to purchase a piece of this iconic famous painting depiction and post it someplace in public, right? You see the funds for that. Possibly an art gallery, where it was hung on all public display. It would seem to be a good metaphor for the kind of facade prepared as being wanted to. I think it's very easy to allow sort of signal. Notice that what was said, the building has been used for religious services, true. It's also been used as a public gathering for,
yeah,
for many decades, right? Okay. As we all know,
that's right.
Churches themselves, really, at the onset of starting extraordinary important role in the congregation. Think about the Revolution of War. Okay, so it wasn't simply just a religious significance. So I think when you're talking about building this old, this kind of history that has been open for public access, public gathering, public organization, I think that essentially almost takes precedence over its use of religious institution. And again, I think it's very easy to use the Aid Act and the religious significance to cloud historical aspects of this structure.
So I'll follow up on that. The $105,000 is used just to preserve a historic building, right? That's where the 105, nothing inside, nothing religious. So our committee is to preserve history.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're asking us to do. So when we drive by there, it's like, oh, that's a historical building. So you presented it to make sure that we separate that. I think that, it was presented very well, but that's what we're looking to do, is preserve a historic building in Franklin that's even older than me. So that is just my statement.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you for that. I think you made an excellent point, argument here for the historical preservation aspect of that. Well, the Franklin Hall, Massachusetts have acknowledge that this is a historical site. Appreciate the thought you put into your proposal with everything you're seeing on the exterior, retracting that, retracting the request for the restoration of the cross. And to my colleague's point as well, we have seen churches being very much part of history. I mean, I think of the Old North Church in Boston. It's like a very central role in American history, not just a religious space. And also, you see you out in the community being very active, being active members. So it's not just you as an organization, but also very active here. I think there's very valid argument for the historical preservation aspect of this report.
A couple of things stood out to me as I was looking through this. As has been mentioned already, it is historical. It's a focal point as we're passing through downtown. I walk a lot. I walk by the church almost every day. And not only have churches historically started off as meeting places for communities, but you continue to do that. You continue to offer your space for the well-being and for the good of the community. And my question is there really any reason why we wouldn't say that this is something, if it checks off those three prongs, is there any reason why we wouldn't choose to move forward and give the project the opportunity to pass across all fronts?
Okay. So I appreciate all the effort you put into this, especially the effort that you folks have made to separate things into what seems to be a very logical, this is a religious-related expense, and this is a community-oriented expense. My concern is more that as I read through some of this stuff in here, and I think this is a project that should be supported, is actually getting it across the finish line, right? Because
we have to move from here to town council, right? So there's another swing at the, you know, another swing at the plate here to knock this out of whack. So I guess this is more of a question for the administration, is if, you know, is it possible to accompany the proposal to this at town council with some sort of like legal fine or backing from perhaps Attorney Sorrell or something like that? Because I am not a lawyer. But as I read through some of this, I could see how it would take one person to muddy the water pretty easily. So I feel as if having some, you know, at least explanation of how we feel as if this is supported and not going to get derailed by the anti-antivenom might be.
We did meet with Attorney Sorrell today. It's fantastic questions, Jay. I would say, you know, because our form of government is a little different than most other small towns, normally, as you know, this would be going to a town meeting, and I'm sure there would be a much more robust conversation at town meeting about this with 400 people in the room versus maybe nine or some other folks. I think Attorney Sorrell cannot give a 100% ironclad, this qualifies, yay or nay. And I actually think that he would reject that idea because of the kind of local control in determining the three prongs that are there, right? Whether or not this was...
It's too subjective.
It's too subjective.
Well, it's very subjective.
And so I think these other cases that have gone through, and look, there's nobody at the state that's like the CPA police, like refereeing all this, right? However, the town of Acton, you know, went through several years in at court, went all the way SJC on these matters, right? And essentially the SJC ruled against the town of Acton. I mean, essentially that case was against their final decisions. Again, I think some of the nuance in that case was very different than this as well. Well, I'm just without reading the entire 68. I mean, the biggest one is they thought that in a sense that this was really financially aiding the basic operations of the parish, which this is not. Okay. Clearly not. I do think other factors, by the way, that referee, whether this was good or not, is a good example that Jeff brought up. The town of Westford appropriated the funds and has not had that obviously challenged because, in fact, the town of Westford would not have existed as an organized community had the parish not been there as a community meeting house. So your comment, I was like, wait, I was waiting in case they asked me a question. In some ways, the anti-ADA is clouding, right? But to Jay's point, and everyone on the committee has to understand that if a small group of residents, regardless of reason, okay, even if they just heard this conversation on the public record in the minutes tonight and said, I don't like this idea because I just don't like this idea, they can challenge that. And I think in these other communities, they've made the case to the legislative body, all of which have town meeting former governments, to the town meeting that this was an appropriate use of CPA funds. The community agreed with that and agreed so wholeheartedly that no one in any of those communities decided that they were going to try to challenge that. Now, one last comment on that to Jay's point or question, you know, the council could vote this through. And maybe because of these other cases, even if somebody challenged this expenditure, you know, that was 7 years ago, the last court case enacted, right? There's been other work done since then. And so maybe the precedent of these other projects would show a synonymous nature with what they have there. The last thing I'll say is that, you know, the preservation restriction is going to go through a virtual meat cleaver by the time we get to that. So every dollar, if there was a few dollars in here that couldn't legally spent for any other reason, like, you know, some sort of religious iconography or something of that sort, that would never be in the preservation restriction anyways. Mass Historic would never approve of that. So, you know, this is going to go through a pretty rigorous, you know, spelled out process. Jake and Patricia have given a project overview. But eventually they're going to have to do a line item by line item budget to make sure exactly what Mass Historic is signing off on in their preservation agreement. If it's the trim, great. If it's the front window, fantastic. Whatever that is, Mass Historic is going to put that into the preservation agreement, and that will be legally enforceable. So there are some protections down the line. And I don't think Attorney Sorrell would go out and make a firm opinion on it just because of the subjectivity of the whole thing. You know, and I think to some degree, you know, I think the merit of this will rely on, you know, quote unquote, overwhelming community support, right? If this committee is fragmented on it, on a vote, or the council is split, you know, that I think kind of opens up maybe a question of whether or not they're going to meet those three prong tests or not.
Just to be clear, no windows are part of this.
Right. Exactly. Windows are a huge deal. Yeah, actually, I keep saying that because like the windows are oftentimes one of the most cited things with historic preservation, right? And so Mass Historic, I've just been through this. I know that they come out and visit the windows. They do their, I'm not kidding you, they do their own measurements. They've already been to the old South Meeting House a few times. People don't know it. And they measure every single piece to make sure no one screws with any of that. Okay.
To answer your question on Acton, it would windows.
Yeah.
And then the other bit was a structural assessment. Right. So you can see how, especially when you get the structural assessment, that gets a lot muddier than the facade.
Right.
But you have to do it. Do the facade.
But they would do that on their own, not using CK funds.
Yeah. Because that does provide value.
You're not going to rip the front part of a building without doing the structural
assessment. Right.
But the idea would be that the church would bear the expense, and then the almost have like a community match would be the community then paying for the
rest. So people have to be compelled to be careful.
Right. Yes. No, I mean, they do.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything?
They just want to keep up the appearance of the outside of the church. Yeah. To keep it as historical value.
Go ahead. Thanks for rendering. I understand your point about the costs. It's a matter of memory perception. But I disagree. The reason why is that you can look at that cross as a symbol of, say, Christianity, sure. Or you can look at it as a symbol of, which is what we're saying, sort of and how I would think about rendering, posting a piece of art sometimes, you know, is the same. Okay? I understand why you do that, but it is real.
Yeah, I, and to be very crystal clear, it is so that we are not giving any tinge to the water. So
you're not giving someone a rope.
Right, right. That's right. I appreciate your comment, but I
have a problem with that because, again, it's this clouding the historic water with this, anti-religious, let's not get, I got that.
Sure.
But it's still, again, just because it's a cross. Could be something else. Could be a crown. Could be anything. Right? Could be a palm. Could be anything. Right? Because it's a cross, you're taking it out. Right?
Yeah.
100%.
Has it been there the whole time?
Or in pictures?
Yeah. In some form.
So it could be iconic.
Yes.
It also is probably the most challengeable element.
Exactly. How much was that? $5,000
right.
To reduce the challengeability of something like this by a massive percentage.
Right.
I understand why they're
First, as you mentioned several times about how you have to go forward to, can you give me some examples of that? Because I'm not.
Absolutely. And Lisa alluded to some of it. I don't know if the committee knows how our building is currently being used. Meals on Wheels operates out of our facility. We have, maybe you can think more of that. There are a number of community groups arguably there are more people from the community using the building than there are in services on Sunday.
That's a fact. That's no problem. That's...
I mean,
no offense, y'all.
I mean, seriously, you go to the building.
It's the building, yeah. So meals
and
on
we
meals.
Love that. We want the building.
We have a free clothing closet. Rise Up is a living with disability support group. Girl Scout troops.
Santa Foundation.
The Santa Foundation has used our facility. The food pantry has used our facility historically. So yes, lots and lots and lots of.
So then, my other point is: do you have this included as part of a bigger capital project? Right, your three-phase capital project.
So the stabilization of the exterior is part of our phase two campaign.
Mm-hmm.
The point that was made in the presentation was that setting aside $100,000 of that campaign for that is not within the purview of what we intended to do. So mm-hmm. if this project is not approved, we are not going to go to the expense or the detail that has been laid out here.
So my point would be, I think it would be a better sell if it stood alone and it wasn't part of any other capital. And one of the reasons I say that is that I read through this, and somewhere in there, you're putting money towards a reserve, future reserve.
I don't totally disagree. I just prefer the terminology to be correct. Toward the endowment of the church.
Correct. You're
yes.
Correct. But to me, I think it would be cleaner if this was being presented on its own and not part of that new phase capital.
I mean, we 100% separate that out. We started the capital campaign before we did that. Yeah. So that's why all that was included the way that it was. So, I think that is a very fair point, and would be happy to make that happen.
I think that was. I think
look at them. I have key church leaders behind me, so I just need to get the link from them.
I think from a perception standpoint,
for me, it would be very advantageous for you.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, those adjustments can be very quickly.
Does anyone else have any other questions? So do we want to vote in this evening? We want to move it to another. So how this should work,
Ben. Steve?
Should there be any participation in the audience if they want to choose? Or is it?
I don't think so. I think we're good. So how the process is if someone makes a motion and someone seconds it, we're going to vote on it tonight. So keep that in mind when we'll go through that process. So before that, does anyone have a question?
Could you order about executive session?
But to go into executive session? Yeah. I don't think this would qualify for that.
Wouldn't qualify.
Okay.
I have a question. Would we vote on it sort of in keeping with your recommendation that it would become standalone, or does that impact, or is that necessary? I guess is the question.
Jamie?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
We vote on it with the stipulation that they revise it based on Chris's recommendation, or does that not matter in terms of us voting?
It matters to me.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's what I'm thinking as well.
I think they've agreed to do that.
Yes, okay.
We can adjust all our materials and campaign.
Yeah.
So if the committee moved forward tonight, for example, then you would ask that they do that at the town council as a standalone request?
Yes. So our vote would be on the stipulation that
yep.
came forward.
Okay. Yeah, it's for the building.
Yes. 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 So does anyone want to make a motion?
Motion to approve resolution 25-27?
As amended.
As amended.
Because it's 100,245 is
right.
The
so
ask.
There's actually two things.
Okay. Sorry about that. Yep.
As amended and as stipulated. Is there a second?
I'll take a second.
Okay, so you have that?
Is that the move?
Thank
you,
Jim. So there's been a motion and second for any discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do a roll call.
Okay. Call vote.
Yes or no?
Jay, I'm just going
to be here. All right,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Wade, yes. Chris? Oh, I'm sorry.
Wade? Yes.
Wait. Yes.
Jeff?
I maybe.
What?
Yes.
Chris?
You're a yes. Yes, it's unanimous.
Great.
Thank you so much for hearing our proposal. I just have a question. To be clear what the expectation is for us, do you want me to revise my proposal to send to with the recommendation to send back to you for the presentation for the town council?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, and I would also ask that you do a line item by line item chunk of, you know, 5,000. I know there's some in here for some of the pieces, but just whatever adds up to 100,245, just resubmit exactly what those costs are so that when the legislative body sees it, they can be very, very clear on what's what.
Okay.
Because of the amendments and the changes and the dialogue, and I'll just make it very clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you. So next is to set a date for October 2025. Jamie, do you have a suggestion?
October 21st, Tuesday. It's off school committee night.
It's my anniversary.
Oh!
You
would you like us to have, do you want us to have the meeting at the Redbrick Schoolhouse? We could all just have a big
fine.
Lisa.
Does anyone have other comments, requests? Jamie, I do.
Sure.
Can you please look into again whether the Franklin Housing Authority would qualify for use of funds the preservation of some of their existing structures? Because there's other communities that have done that.
Yep. Evan would be happy to do that research. I've never been able to say that before. Do you know how cool that is? Yeah.
In the two regions, do you think we need to do some work down there?
So one of the things with the Franklin Housing Authority, it's not just the Franklin Housing Authority, any state housing authority, if you get someone to provide a certain amount of funds, for example, we did this in the past using the Franklin Housing Trust. I think the Franklin, do you remember this, Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
The Franklin Housing Trust gave $50,000. Is that the number? Or 100?
Yeah, it's probably 100.
I think they gave 100. And the state quote matched that, I believe, with $350,000. So with an outside source of revenue, you get a lot of money from the state.
Yep.
There's a lot of units down there.
So that this would be to prove those units? Is that
it? It would be to preserve them.
Preserve them. Yes. Thanks.
It was like Central Park Terrace.
Theramet.
Yeah, and I would say the biggest area of community preservation after 20 something years, the legislature needs to probably do an update on the housing piece of it. It's very restrictive. They changed public recreation 10 years ago because originally you had to buy the land and then build a park on it. And then everybody went, what? And then of course nobody could buy the acre park because it's $3 million plus build it. And they changed the law. But they have not changed the law on anything relating to CPA housing in 25 years, which desperately needs to be updated. Mm-hmm. To Chris's point, a lot of the allowable uses probably fit closer into the difficulty of what we just talked about.
Right.
They really are. So we'll take a second look at that, though.
You know, I mean, that seems really odd, actually, given the housing interest of the state? I mean, is that in process? Is that in play?
I've mentioned it during some of the, I've been invited to a few, open forums, even behind closed doors with the governor, lieutenant governor. It's been on my list just to look at it. You know, I don't want to bother any of them with like a 5-page speech, but, I don't think they have. And I think it's even more odd because I think the towns that bought a lot of open space 20 years ago bought what they needed to buy. And now you look at the city of Boston today, they're spending almost 80%, like 70%, almost all of their discretionary money goes towards housing. But a lot of other suburban communities just have not been able to get out there because of the restrictions around who owns it, when it was bought. There's a lot of hurdles. So we continue to talk about it, but it doesn't get really a lot of extra, I think it probably is one of those things where some legislators have to sit down with the CPA coalition and really dig through the mechanics of it and then propose something. It just hasn't found the chief sponsor yet, but I think it's on their radar, but it's probably not the biggest issue that they're probably dealing with on this. So it probably gets left by the wayside, but. It's just been hard and challenging for communities to spend the money on housing projects because housing's expensive. And look at how long it's taken Franklin Ridge. Yeah. And that's quick. Yeah. That's everywhere I went for 3 years, everybody who would listen to me, listen to me about Franklin Ridge, and it's still only 2/3 funded. So if you're dealing with like the Chris's stories about the old trust, which he remembers really well, when Franklin property was at, you could buy a house for $250, the town would buy up a lot of houses, fit them out, and then put them out there. I mean, the trust was very, very successful, but now the housing values are $750,000, the trust doesn't have anywhere near the kind of money to be able to do that. So I think CPA probably suffers from some of the same issues, right? And then it's a lot of private investment. Are you giving money to private entities, and so it just gets very challenging. But they got to loosen the restrictions on it, I think, a lot more.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008. And used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.